This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
I would just say a couple things. First of all, I spent more time in Surprise than I normally do, and I thought we had a great camp. You know, a little bit different in that I think, very confident group, I would say. I think about it last year, I think we thought we'd added some tools to the team and that we had hopes for making the playoffs. I would say that this group expects to be in the postseason, which is a great thing. And tomorrow, so we had a great camp tomorrow, opening day. And while I think about it as it's certainly about baseball, but it's about a lot more than baseball. It's about the best of Kansas City, in my view. It's Greater Kansas City Day. It's Kansas City Appreciation Day. And it's really a celebration of our team and base of this great game and our great community. It's a lot of hoopla tomorrow, but to me, it's one of 162. And eventually we settle in. Baseball becomes the heartbeat of the summer. And if we're lucky, we'll be playing baseball in October. One thing I would, before I turn this back to Sam for Q&A, certainly has been a lot of interest in our stadium process over the last few weeks and days, and I'm really grateful for that there's that much interest and passion and care about not just what we do on the field, but this really important process of selecting a new home for the Royals. So I'm grateful for that. I would say that the speculation seems to have been heightened in the last few days. I would tell you a couple things about that. Whatever the source of that speculation, it didn't come from us. And when we have something to talk about, we're going to be ready to talk about that. So with that, I'll open it up for questions.
John, I wonder, over the course of the offseason, JJ was pretty open about wanting to find a middle-of-the-order bat. That obviously didn't work out. I wonder what your confidence level is in the offense you have right now and kind of how you saw those negotiations play out over the course of the offseason.
About particularly that quest for a bat, middle-of-the-order bat. Yeah, certainly that was one of the things that we felt would really improve our team. And I think it's been written about. We gave it the old college try here. We went after a couple of people, and I think we expanded the view of investment when we thought about that. But when we didn't get that, I think if you think about We got a lot of, you know, one of the things JJ's been great about, he's brought some people in around him. Roster construction, I think, is really a strength of JJ's. How do you put together a team capable of, you know, getting to the postseason and then ultimately advancing in the postseason? If you think about our team, the back of the bullpen was really the best way that we could add, you know, short of a really, you know, a big bat in the middle of the order. It was really adding to the back of the bullpen. So he shifted gears, and that's when we signed Carlos Estevez. And, you know, if you think about our team, certainly the young core will improve. Jonathan India at the top of the order, I think that's going to be a difference maker. If any of you have been surprised, this, I think our fans are going to love the way this guy plays. He's a competitor. He's a gamer. He wants to win. But then also we have an elite rotation that for the most part is returning. And the bullpen is going to be much, well, I mean, we have to suit up and play 162, right? But on paper, we should be much stronger, certainly than we were in the first half of the season. And really, even with the bullpen that we closed, when you think about Hunter Harvey, Ursaig, and Estevez in the back, and then Zerpa's been solid, Jonathan Schreiber, others, you know, I really feel good about not only our starters that will keep us in the game, but having a group that can help us close out games.
John, you guys were aggressive in signing several players, you know, to lucrative deals this offseason. Will that same aggressiveness be paramount if the team, you know, needs to go out and get over the hump this season?
Repeat the first part of the
question. Oh, just like being aggressive, signing several different guys this offseason. Will you continue that?
Last offseason?
Yeah, yeah. Will you continue that aggressive mindset?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we're willing to do what it takes to put a winning field on, a winning team on the field, right? And so, you know, our approach this year, we did go out, and JJ had some specific objectives. This year, though, it was to stabilize the rotation again. We signed Waka, you know, right out of the blocks. We brought back Michael Lorenzen. Those were two big adds. And then, of course, we had the depth. We'd had enough depth where we could trade a really good player, a good pitcher like Brady Singer to help our team in other ways. So I think that leadoff spot, I think you're going to see a totally different, I mean, if you've been down in spring training, you know, not only is he getting on base, I think he had the fourth most walks in the league last year, I think second lowest chase rate, something like that, but he's given Bobby a better look. You know, Bobby watching Jonathan India hit him is preparing him for his at-bat better than we had in the past. So I would say, you know, when you think about payroll, you know, we're willing to spend some money this offseason, right? I think it's been written about, and most of what was written about was true. But we didn't get it. You know, we didn't get it done. And so then we kind of refocused on making our team better in the way that we thought we could. One thing I would say about JJ, and if you've observed him since he took this job, he is trying to make our team better every single day. And I mean literally every single day. And sometimes it's by a lot, and sometimes it's by a little. And you think about what he did. We made the playoffs by one game. And you think about what he did down the stretch, right? When Vinny got hurt, we get Yuli Gurriel. We signed Tommy Pham, Robbie Grossman. You know, all of those guys, we got him by one game, and all of those guys helped us get there. And you get him by one, you get the opportunity to go to Baltimore and win a series on the road in a hostile environment against a good team. And that changes, I think, the DNA of the team. So that's another thing. So, you know, JJ, you know, I don't really just give JJ a payroll number. I say, look, here are some guidelines, but if there are opportunities to make us better, we're going to be willing to invest in this thing. So that's kind of how we've approached it, I think, the last 2 years, and that's how we'll continue to approach it. And certainly want to build, you know, think about the opportunity we have here with a superstar like Bobby Witt. You know, this would be the first of his arbitration years, right, Sam, if we hadn't signed him. And so this is a really key period where he's in what would have been his arbitration year, so it's a cost. He's performing at an extremely high level. We have cost certainty on those years, and it's cost effective, and really a time we want to surround him with talent to try to do something special for our fans.
Bye. John, I realize this is pretty open-ended, but I wonder if you might be able to sum up in some way what you guys need to learn to be able to get more clarity and traction on where you're headed with the stadium process.
What we need to learn?
Yeah. What are the key variables that are in play that you're trying
well,
to
I just, reconcile? You know, I would just say, first off, it's a complicated process, and they all are. You can look around the country. And then we have multiple opportunities on both sides of the state line, and it's just a process, I think. I feel really, really good about, I have empathy for people that feel like, you know, the process isn't clarified, but I feel really, really good about the process. I feel really, really good about the team that we've got on this, both internally and then the outside experts that we've hired. And I feel like we've got really a solid group of potential partners that are trying very hard to do something. And so this is a tough decision for us. But I don't think it's helpful to talk about things in this particular context before we're ready to kind of talk about something that's buttoned up.
And with that, I mean, I may have missed this, but I don't feel like I'm hearing you emphasize a timeline, maybe the way you had in the past. I mean, what would you say about that?
Well, I think we have a stated objective of being able to talk about a specific location. I'm calling it, you know, the middle of the calendar year in that June, July period.
Sam?
Yeah, a couple of follow-ups on that. You mentioned multiple opportunities on both sides of the state line. Is this Sprint Camp, is this Washington Square Park still among those opportunities that you...
You know, I won't comment on those. You know, and again, it's out of respect for the process and our partners. To be fair to all of them.
Is it at all a possibility? Do you envision any scenario in which you're playing baseball at Kauffman Stadium after the current season?
I don't think so. You know, we talked about that. That would be a low cost option. That would be that wouldn't be really solving the long term solution that we need to really sustain ourselves. In my view, you know, to make sure we have a world-class facility for a Major League Baseball franchise that wants to compete at the highest level for the next few decades.
The last one I had on that, but you had mentioned early on just this vision of downtown baseball and potentially revitalizing downtown. I recognize that was what you guys went to the voters with and that they turned it down, but do you still have that same vision? I mean, do you still have the same thoughts about what that could do for downtown Kansas City?
You know, I think that's certainly one of the things that might work. I think we need to make what is the best decision for the team and for the community. And there are variables out there, but I think, you know, more broadly, I would say in a whether it's urban or whether it's, you know, really high density where we have the opportunity to create, you know, vibrancy and economic activity around it, not just the 81 nights, but 365 days a year.
Bill. Mr. Sherman, you alluded to a minute ago about spending some more time down in Surprise. I was around in 84 when the Royals made it to playoffs, got swept by the Detroit Tigers, went on and won the World Series. The next year, the Royals had that amazing World Series run. And you could just tell, talking to the guys going into 85, that there was a whole new vibe. It was like, yes, you know, we're only going to be happy with the World Series. Now, I'm not wanting you to predict the World Series, but do you get that vibe when you're talking to Matt and when you're talking to the players like this is a year that they really, really feel like they have a chance?
I think it's a group that thinks they think they're capable of winning it all. But you know, there's a lot of things that have to go your way for some. But I mean, I think, you know, we have a stated objective to make this team more competitive on a sustainable and consistent basis, based upon the idea that the more times you get in the tournament, the more opportunities you do have to win a championship, which is the ultimate goal. You know, interestingly, I don't know if this is, maybe Sam, you can check me on this, but I think that we've never not made the playoffs the year after we returned to the playoffs. Is that right? In the history of the franchise, I think it's been always in at least two, you know, back-to-back year segments, 14, 15 being the most recent. So we'll see what happens in 24, 25.
Neil, was that your hand that's on?
Yeah. What does winning do for the people's attitude towards you and towards this franchise and the excitement surrounding this franchise?
What
is winning? You guys invested money last year. Won last year.
Yeah.
How does that change the way people look at y'all?
Yeah, winning is why we're in this business, right? We talk about all this other stuff, but our core business is to win baseball games. And yeah, the excitement, you know, what we got to do, you know, it's fragile. We've talked about this a little bit. We got in by one game, right? And I think it's been talked about we were down, 8-1 to Seattle. We came back and beat them. And, you know, they'd had the tiebreaker against us had they won that game. So it's, you know, the margins are thin. But no, winning is what, you know, JJ likes to say, I mean, we're in the entertainment business, right? And winning is entertaining in this business for sure.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know you don't know specifics yet, John, when it comes to a new stadium, but do you have an idea, funding-wise, how much of the stadium you would like for it to be publicly funded and how much of it you would like to be privately funded?
You know, I think that kind of depends on the – I expect that we'll have a good public partner. I would expect that we will be a very large investor in both the stadium and certainly the around it, but you know that's a hard question to answer right now, just because of the status of the negotiations with multiple parties.
And the speculation that you talked about before you opened it up for Sam to talk to reporters to ask you questions, are you talking about the Asteria news release that came out yesterday saying that they are not in discussions with you guys about you guys building your ballpark at 100?
You know, I think that was one of the things that came out in the last few days, but there have been more than that and some other things. I'm just talking about that whole kind of category that's been in the news over the last, you know, 3-4 days. Asperia being one of them.
Cool. We good? All right. Thanks, John.
Thank you. We're Salvi.
He's gone.